Hey guys, welcome back to the GOAT Podcast. I am your host, Michael Clark, and it is upon us. The NFL Draft has finally arrived. It starts tonight, and I thought it would be fun to do what we did last year, where we look at Daniel Jeremiah's final mock draft, and wanted to put a little bit of a spin on it this year. I'm going to either agree with his pick or make one of my own. And we're going to see how that goes. So, I'm just getting it to load up here. Alrighty. Let's start. Before we begin, let me do it this way. This season of draft coverage has been very difficult for a lot of different reasons. Mainly, the draft network that we used and relied on so heavily last year seemingly has shut down their mock draft simulator. They were hacked and attacked by someone, and they've not been able to get their stuff back up. And so the scouting reports are off. They're dealing with different things. It's just Pro Football Focus is the only place I found that had a decent enough mock draft simulator, and I don't like a lot about it. Mainly because the player rankings are not very good. But here we go. Chicago Bears are on the clock. And this has to be a no-brainer. Daniel Jeremiah and I agree. It's Caleb Williams to the Chicago Bears. Now, jumping up in front of what had been at one time the number two quarterback prospect is the Washington Commanders selecting Jaden Daniels, according to Daniel Jeremiah. I agree with this pick as well. I'm not going to make any changes, and we're going to basically just kind of have that the way that it goes. So, Jaden Daniels is the number two pick. Caleb Williams, number one. Number three, he has, if I can get to it, all these pop-ups. Number three, he has Drake May going to the Patriots. Again, I agree with this. It makes sense. And this is where the draft kind of begins, if you're looking at it from this perspective. After Drake May, there's some consensus that maybe J.J. McCarthy is next. But Daniel Jeremiah has Marvin Harrison Jr. going. And I don't know. It's interesting to me. I think the Cardinals need a wide receiver, and I do think Marvin Harrison Jr. is the best receiver in this class. But I still wonder if Malik Nabers is gonna, you know, sneak in there. And there's a part of me that thinks SEC played against pro style defenses that Malik Nabers is still going to have an edge. And so I'm going to stick to my guns here, and I'm going to give Malik Nabers to the Arizona Cardinals. And this presents quite a problem for the Los Angeles Chargers because Daniel Jeremiah has them taking J.C. Latham. First tackle off the board is not even Joe Alt. It's J.C. Latham. Here's something that is kind of interesting with Latham. He is seemingly shooting up the board, but I don't really look at the Chargers as having a massive need at tackle. They'll probably end up doing it because they need to have, you know, players in place to do these kinds of things. It makes sense, but I'm not sure that I like the J.C. Latham pick, but it does feel like the Brock Bowers to the Chargers is cooled off, and it is not going to happen. But you have Marvin Harrison sitting there, and this is where if you have Malik Nabers and Marvin Harrison on the board, or one of the two on the board, how do you not take one of them, right? So I'm going to give Marvin Harrison Jr. to the San Diego Chargers of old, Los Angeles Chargers of today. And here we go. New York Giants have Malik Nabers, but he's gone in this scenario. I don't know that they would go and take Roma Dunze. I don't know that they would take Joe Alt. Those are the two best players on the board right now. They don't need a tight end. So I'm gonna go ahead and give them Roma Adunze. I disagree with the pick there. I think Malik Nabers should already be off the board. And this is where that little wide receiver run kind of happened. And now you're the Tennessee Titans and you're stoked because the best tackle is still there at 7. I mean, how does that happen, right? And you don't even have to do anything. By the way, at 7, Daniel Jeremiah and I agree, it's Joe Alt going to the Tennessee Titans. Then we get to 8, and this is something Monica and I have been talking about, and it seems like Daniel Jeremiah might be pulling some of his voodoo again, because at number 8, Dallas Turner is the pick. And I really like that. I think that makes a ton of sense for the Falcons, who have a quarterback now. They've got the opportunity to kind of play the style of football they need, but they've got to have defenses that can stop the other abysmal offenses that are in their division. And so you get a guy like Dallas Turner, it makes sense. I think Dallas Turner going to the Falcons is too good to pass up. Now the Chicago Bears are back on the clock at number 9. And Daniel Jeremiah says that he really believes that they might trade down from pick number 9, and that could still put them in range to land Fashanu. They only have 4 picks this year. But if they stay there, I agree with him that they've got to take a tackle to really help. But I will do one better for him. I will give J.C. Latham to the Chicago Bears. I like Fashanu, but he's been falling steadily. I'm going to give J.C. Latham his due and have him go to the Chicago Bears. Remember, last year, the Bears did not take Broderick Jones. They opted for Darnell Wright from the Tennessee Volunteers. And so they do value players in a different light than we do. And I think having J.C. Latham could be a good pickup for them. Now, at number 10... he has Rome Odunze going to the New York Jets, but I obviously cannot do that. Rome went just a few picks ago to the Giants. So what's the next best thing if you're Aaron Rodgers? It's Brock Bowers, right? But I still think if the board goes this way, that the Jets have to be wise and take a tackle. They've got to take somebody that can actually hold up for the rest of the career that Aaron Rodgers has and beyond. Their two bookend tackles are 33 years old apiece. And so I'm going to give Taliese Fuaga, tackle out of Oregon State, to the New York Jets. Now the Minnesota Vikings are on the clock. They're excited because they traded for an extra first-round pick, and they don't even got to use it. They get J.J. McCarthy at number 11. Which brings us to number 12, the Philadelphia Eagles. In this mock draft, make a trade and jump up, and I am going to grant that specific trade, and for the same type of reason that they're going to try to go get an offensive lineman, but I'm not going to make it be Taliese Fuaga because he's obviously not on the board. But we're going to go ahead and force this trade just because it's not really needing to be done anyway, but we're going to give them number 12 overall for the Philadelphia Eagles. They are on the clock, and I think they are going to take an offensive tackle. And you have your pick here between Troy Fontenot or Olumuwia Fashanu. I'm going to say Olu Fashanu is the pick there. He's just up the road at Penn State. It's not hard for them to kind of know what they're getting there, and I think that makes a ton of sense. I agree with the overall position, but obviously the player is already gone. Now, at 13, and this is where that voodoo magic of Daniel Jeremiah kind of comes in, he has Michael Penix Jr. And I think he's right. I think the Vegas Raiders are the type of team that would take a chance on Michael Penix. You've got Gardner Minshew. You've got Aiden O'Connell. You have the ability to kind of say, listen, if he pans out, he pans out. If he doesn't, he doesn't. I agree. I'm going to say Michael Penix Jr. goes to the Raiders tomorrow night. At number 14, Troy Fontenot. The Saints on the clock looking at this, but I know they need it. I know they need to get a blocker. So let's go ahead and give them Troy Fontenot. Same pick as Daniel Jeremiah. I trust his judgment on that. But here's where we differ. I do not agree with Brock Bowers going to the Indianapolis Colts. He has Quinyon Mitchell as another potential fit here. That's who I'm going to give them. I just think that the tight end position, they've got a guy who was on their team, Jelani Woods. He's very good. He's 25 years old. He's entering his third season. He had an injury-plagued year last year, but I think he'll come back, and I think he'll be just as good as he was prior to that. And so I don't think Brock Bowers goes here either. But this is kind of the problem. If you're Brock Bowers, where are you going to go? What's going to be available for you? Well, stick with me. I'm not going to be happy about it, but I think it's a possibility. At number 16, the Seattle Seahawks are projected to select Terrion Arnold. This does make too much sense. I genuinely believe that that is probably how it will shake up. They're going to try to build a Raven-style defense. That's what Mike McDonald wants to do there in Seattle. They do have Devin Witherspoon, who was a home run pick last year. Reek Woolen before that was good, but there's certainly a spot for Terrion Arnold on the Seattle Seahawks roster, and I think that that makes a lot of sense for them to do. The Jacksonville Jaguars, he has selecting Quinyon Mitchell. He's not available, and so we can't do that. So ask yourself, what is it that the Jaguars have been struggling the most? Well, it's been pressuring the quarterback outside of keeping Trevor Lawrence upright. I don't know that another offensive lineman would go here, but it does say that they need an edge and a defensive back. I think Cooper DeJean is a type of player, and that's who I'm going to give them. Not Quinyon Mitchell, but another guy that's played corner, but he can also play safety. Cooper DeJean, if he can play the role right, could end up being a Minka Fitzpatrick hybrid free safety. Not Polamalu level, I wouldn't say, because I don't see that type of playmaking ability, but he can certainly find a role on the spot of the Jacksonville Jaguars, and so I'll give Cooper DeJean to the Jaguars. Now, Daniel Jeremiah has Byron Murphy II going to the Bengals, but it's too much to pass up. You lose Tyler Boyd. T. Higgins wants to be traded. You have Mike Gesicki, but he's not necessarily on a long contract. You're going to have to get rid of that at some point as well. And here is Brock Bowers just sitting there. I don't know how you don't take him. And so I'm going to give Brock Bowers to the Cincinnati Bengals. Even though I believe Bowers is going to be long gone by this is just the way this particular board is falling. I think that in this scenario, it is likely that Bowers could fall to 18. Kyle Pitts has not struck fear into many people's eyes, and he was a number 4 overall pick. The Chargers could take a wide receiver and still come into the second round, and there'll be a tight end available like Jatavion Sanders, Saunders, or whoever else from Michigan even. I think Derek All might be his name. Their players available. So instead of Byron Murphy II, I'm going to give the Bengals Brock Bowers. Which brings us to pick number 19, which is a projected trade with the Los Angeles Rams. And I don't know that I like this move for a few reasons. One, yes, at the time that this board is being done, the best player on it for an offensive lineman is Amarius Mims. But I'm kind of the impression that there's a good chance Amarius Mims could be available a little bit later in the first round, and you could try to trade up with Arizona and not give up as much. So I'm not going to harp too bad on that. I will go ahead and make this trade, partly because I really believe that Daniel Jeremiah knows that this is going to happen. He did it last year when it came to the Will Anderson trade and the Houston Texans after they had taken C.J. Stroud. So I'll give pick number 19, but this is where I think it does make sense for the Washington Commanders to try to hedge their bets here a little bit. I'll give them Amarius Mims, though I don't like it, but I think they'll do that because that puts the Steelers in quite a pickle at number 20 because all these tackles are gone and they don't really have anybody of note that they can kind of hold on to. So what does Daniel Jeremiah have the Steelers doing? He has them taking Tyler Guyton. No, here's the crazy thing. in this scenario, Jerzon Newton, Byron Murphy II are both on the clock. That makes no sense, but they are. I'm going to give the Steelers Byron Murphy II. If that scenario happened, could you imagine? Because there's still some tackles that they could get in the second round. There's still some other things. They could even trade back in with Arizona if they wanted to pick up another tackle or a center. You can do that. But I think having the ability to add to Cam Hayward and have his eventual replacement with Keanu Benton as well in the mix makes that defensive line nasty. Our offensive line is not great, but there are plenty of pieces and plenty of picks where we could make something happen. So I'm going to go ahead and give Byron Murphy II to the Pittsburgh Steelers. First time I'm changing that up, but I do believe that Byron Murphy would be a difference maker in the black and gold. Now, the Miami Dolphins, he has them taking Jerzon Newton, and that's too much of a slam dunk. I agree. You lose Christian Wilkins, and they can't replace him, Daniel Jeremiah writes, but you can at least mitigate the loss a little bit and add somebody to the fold that can kind of plug up and take some of the body space. Now, here's where when these things happen, it just kind of makes you go, Denver at 22 taking Bo Nix. I like that. I mean, in this scenario, they've made a trade. They get somebody else, and Bo Nix is sitting there. You get a fifth-year option with him. You have a chance to see what you've got. And if he doesn't play well and Zach Wilson beats him out, you still have those other picks that you got from the trade with the Eagles earlier. So I will give Bo Nix to the Denver Broncos. At pick number 23, I don't think the Vikings will pass up Laiatu or even Jared Verse for Chop Robinson, though I think Robinson is a fringe first-round player. I think they will take their best player on the board here, and I think that will be Laiatu Latu. And so same position, different player, but we're good. The Dallas Cowboys have to get an interior offensive lineman, and Graham Barton can play all five of these. He's the best center in the draft. He's very good at what he's doing, and they need that. And so the versatility, when you have, as I look at their team needs, they need wide receiver, running back, center, tackle, defensive line, linebacker, and cornerback. You get a guy like Graham Barton, you're drafting three players in one because he can play outside guard or inside guard, he can play center, and he can play tackle. That's too valuable to pass up if you're Dallas, who have needed this for quite some time. But it does put a big problem for the Green Bay Packers because now there are no tackles, no offensive linemen really on the board that are worth writing home about, and they've got to get somebody. And according to Daniel Jeremiah, it's Cooper DeJean, but he's already gone. So what do you do? How do you make this work? Well, I think you continue to add to what you did last year, and you go get Chop Robinson. And you've got the ability to have him play on the other side of Lucas Van Ness, and that's exactly what you need. Hold on, I'm going to cough. So Chop Robinson going to the Green Bay Packers makes a lot of sense to me. Then we get kind of a little bit of a run here. The Buccaneers take Jared Verse. But don't be surprised if the need is a little bit more that they would take Peyton Wilson because they lost Devin White. They don't really have a viable replacement outside of Levante David, but they have also got to rush the passer. They've got to get that. So I will grant them Jared Verse, but I do not agree with the 27th overall pick with the Arizona Cardinals taking Laiatu Latu. Number one, he's gone. That's fine. But I believe that the Cardinals are going to try to either A, make Kyler Murray's job so much easier, or B, they're going to genuinely do whatever they can to prepare for the next guy. And so I believe that they will add another offensive piece. And I'm going to give them Jackson Powers Johnson. I don't like it, but I think it makes sense for them to try to beef up their offensive line as well as what they're trying to do on the offensive side of the football. Now, you're the Buffalo Bills, and you're sitting here, and you have Adonai Mitchell and Brian Thomas Jr. and Troy Franklin and pretty much every wide receiver that you could possibly hope to still be here at this point is still there. I think it's that LSU bias of we had a Heisman-winning quarterback. I do see Brian Thomas Jr. being the pick, and I think that that makes a lot of sense for them to do that because they will trust that he can handle NFL coverage because he saw it on Saturdays, and they always seem to prefer that. With the Detroit Lions, I love this pick. I hope this pick is true for them. It reunites Brian Branch with his teammate Kool-Aid McKinstry, and with the problems and the legal troubles that have come with Cam Sutton and the horrible thing that happened with him, you're going to have to replace him. And I don't think you can really justify doing that in round two or three. You have to make a statement that you're replacing a player that had done something very horrendous and terrible, and we're going to do that by going to the school of Alabama, who has not always had players come out and not been head cases, but it's rare that you see a ton of head cases coming from the University of Alabama. One more of those Coach Saban, you know, picks, and I think the Lions will seamlessly fit right in with what they're doing. And though it's under tragic circumstances with what happened with Cam Sutton, the silver lining for the Lions is that they're not tied to that player's contract and not able to replace him. They get a chance to rectify that. Nate Wiggins going to the Baltimore Ravens does make sense. I can't help but say yes to that because they need corner. They're struggling. And even some of their better corners, I think Marlon Humphrey last year gave up a pretty good touchdown to George Pickens. They have had terrible depth at that position. Nate Wiggins, welcome to Baltimore. Now, here's where it is interesting, because I like both of these picks. And I don't know. I don't know. I think Brandon Ayuk's going to get traded. I think that'll happen tonight. I think he's traded to a team. Maybe it's one of those where, you know, you've got the Buffalo Bills saying, we'd rather have Brandon Ayuk, who's established, than Brian Thomas Jr. I think that type of trade will happen. Maybe it's the Minnesota Vikings saying, we'd rather see Jordan Addison in the slot. We want Brandon Ayuk. We want to help our quarterback. Maybe it's the Dallas Cowboys. Whoever it is, I believe that Brandon Ayuk is getting traded, which means you're losing a big-bodied receiver that is kind of known as your possession guy. You already have a gadget player in Deebo Samuel. You don't need another one. Daniel Jeremiah has them taking Xavier Worthy. I think that that would make sense if Brandon Ayuk is not traded. I believe Brandon Ayuk will be traded, and so I'm actually going to give Adonai Mitchell to the San Francisco 49ers and give them a big-bodied receiver who is more traditional, not expected to carry the weight of Deebo Samuel, and is able to help you kind of relax a little bit with Brock Purdy having a taller target. They struggled a little bit in some of those games, and he needs a big-bodied receiver who can help him. Which brings us to the Kansas City Chiefs, and I love this potential fit that could happen. It makes so much sense. Even though they have won two Super Bowls since Tyreek Hill left, they have not been able to adequately replace Tyreek Hill. There's no way. But there is a player in this draft that is very fast that I think could have the potential to catch a screen and go for 40 yards for a touchdown. There is a player in this class that I just kind of salivate a little bit thinking about the ways that Andy Reid will put him into positions of success, and that is Xavier Worthy. And so I'm going to give Xavier Worthy to the Kansas City Chiefs. It has been reported that Rashee Rice will more than likely have to go on a suspension. And when that suspension happens, you're going to have somebody who you can rely upon. And as you are doing this, having Xavier Worthy, that's really good. It's really good. And I genuinely believe that this is a very realistic possibility for a mock draft. It is my final first-round mock of the season. I'm going to cover it with you one more time, and we will be done. Here it is. Picks number 1 through 5, Caleb Williams to the Bears, Jaden Daniels to the Commanders, Drake May to the Patriots, Malik Nabers to the Cardinals, and Marvin Harrison Jr. to the Chargers. Picks 6 through 10, Rome Odunze to the Giants, Joe Alt to the Titans, Dallas Turner to the Falcons, J.C. Latham to the Bears, Taliese Fuaga to the Jets. 11 through 15, J.J. McCarthy to the Vikings, Olufoshanu to the Eagles in a trade with the Broncos. 13, Michael Penix Jr. 14, Troy Fatanu. 15, Quinyon Mitchell. Picks 16 through 20, Terrion Arnold to the Seahawks, Cooper DeJean to the Jaguars, Brock Bowers to the Bengals, Amarius Mims to the Commanders in a trade with the Rams. Steelers take Byron Murphy II and beef up that offense or that defensive line. They'll go back in the second and third round for offense. 21 is Jerzon Newton to the Dolphins. 22, Bo Nix to the Broncos. Number 23, Leatu Latu to the Vikings. Graham Barton to the Dallas Cowboys. Chop Robinson to the Green Bay Packers. And 26 through 30, Jared Verse to the Buccaneers. Jackson Powers Johnson to the Cardinals. Brian Thomas Jr. to the Bills. Kool-Aid McKinstry to the Lions. Nate Wiggins to the Baltimore Ravens. And at picks 31 and 32, Adonai Mitchell to the 49ers and Xavier Worthy to the Chiefs. I cannot wait to see if I got it right this year, but I'm not expecting to go 26 out of 32. I would love it, but I doubt it. Until after round one is over and we have some of our analysis of that, take care.